Blockbus.net Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Justin Zarian here. If you like what you hear on this show, on Digital Noise, or anything else on this site, please consider being a subscriber. There are hours and hours of content waiting for you there, including, starting at $2 a month, our news podcast, The Breakfast Pub, which I write the notes for. But at $5 a month, you can also get access to stuff like The Gathering, our party podcast. Or at $10 and higher, you can get access to our movie commentaries, which tons of fun, lots of great stuff there. And, you know, this is the way that we keep the site going, to be able to provide hours of entertainment for you guys. We also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, once again, Oscar Blues Brewery, the original brewery to put a craft beer in a can. And they just have tons of stuff available for you. Go look up oscarblues.com, that's Oscar with a K, to be able to find a brewery near you. With that, hope you enjoy the show. Cue the music. So, I've been angry at my parents before. You know, I may have thought a few things that were a little rough, you know, just like, man, I'm really frustrated at you. But I'm pretty sure I've been able to stop myself even short of the idea of, you know, maybe I should, you know, bash in their faces with an axe, you know?
That's how you're going to start this review?
Might as well. I have no other way to start this. Hey, everybody, this is our review of Lizzie. This is the movie about Lizzie Borden, the infamous killer. You know, it's apparently been historically debated on how guilty she actually is. That happened in the 1890s, where she, you know, got in a hatchet and murdered her mother or stepmother and her father. Now, what's interesting about this, like I said, this is debated in history as to the accuracy of certain details. Although this movie does make a very definitive stance on where they think what happened to this.
Yeah, this movie has no time for ambiguity. This movie's never like, but what do you think happened? No, the movie's just like, yeah, she killed these people.
Yeah, you know, sorry, spoilers for something that's in history, but
yeah, it's like saying, oh, spoiler alert, the Titanic sinks. You don't get to spoil history.
Yeah, no. So this is interesting because this has actually been a passion project of the main actress, Chloe Sevigny, which, you know, I don't know why. Chloe Sevigny picks really weird projects. Like, she ties herself to a lot of interesting things where it's like, I get why you might be interested in this. I don't know if it really make a great movie.
I feel like there is a good movie with this character, and I can see why this character is so compelling. I mean, we just recently had a TV movie miniseries version of it with Christina Ricci.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is a compelling character. It's like the first really notable female serial killer. Like, that's...
Oh, I mean, it wouldn't be really a... That'd be more a spree killing, you know, kind of thing.
Fair enough, but in terms of notoriety, like, gets the same level of notoriety that a lot of serial killers would, or just like people who've committed these kinds of crimes.
Yeah, no, she was very much one of the highest publicized, alongside, you know, they compare it like the O.J. Simpson case, where just her name was on all the papers, just like, you know, cold, heartless, unfeeling psychopath kind of thing. So,
and that's an interesting character. I really wish they had an interesting movie to go with it.
Yeah, so like I said, this is a passion project for Chloe, and I gotta say, it's clear that this has been sitting on a shelf for a long time, because Lizzie Borden, she was in her, I think she was 30 when this story was supposed to take place. Chloe Sevigny is definitely not 30 anymore.
No.
Like, she looks too old for the part. And I'm sure, you know, she acts it decently as much as you can for the role, but
I would say that she does a pretty good job. I feel like she's the best part of the movie.
Debatable. I have a few other things I like about this movie.
Well, I do as well, but I think she does a really solid job.
Yeah, I do. I just personally think that it's definitely one of those things where at some point it's like, yeah, she just held on to this project even though she's way too old for this part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just kind of chucked it up to people in 1890 look older than they are.
Although, Kristen Stewart definitely looks her age to be in her, like, you know, kind of late 20s, early 30s kind of thing.
Yeah, and that was what was so weird about it, because Chloe Sevigny is an attractive person, but she definitely has that kind of, like, slightly, like, abnormal look about her where it's like, oh, you look more like a person than a movie star. And then Kristen Stewart comes in and it's like, okay, cool, so did Vogue just take your picture, or... Is it like the Marc Jacobs handmade collection? Like, she looks gorgeous the entire movie.
Yes, indeed. And you definitely get to see a lot of her in this movie, because there's at least one point where both of them get nude, and it's not for the reasons that you think, although that is something that does play a factor in this story.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in this movie it, like, every single thing, if it was all together, you'd be like, oh, that's an exploitation film, because Kristen Stewart plays the maid to the Borden household, and her and Lizzie start to have a flirtatious, burgeoning relationship, which it's the 1890s, and that's not a thing that you're allowed to do in the 1890s.
Yeah, which is interesting because it's not officially confirmed if that was a thing. That seems to be the prevailing theory, you know, that a lot of scholars back up nowadays. But there's been many interpretations as to what was going on that led to the murders. This just happens to be the most popular version of that.
Yeah, and it's, like, the two of them going back and forth, because there's clearly something very wrong with Lizzie Borden.
Oh, from the get-go.
And that's the most interesting stuff about the movie, is when it's just this person who is severely damaged talking to someone and trying to, like, get to know someone that isn't. Like, that's really fascinating. I wouldn't say really fascinating, but that's the stuff that's really compelling about the movie.
Yeah. No, and it's weird, though, too, because when I say that, you know, Chloe Sevigny is pretty good in this role, I did have the issue that I get they're trying to make it where she's a very complicated, damaged person, but it never really got me to like her in this film.
You know, I, like, would 100% agree with that.
Yeah, like, there was never a point where I'm like, you know, Lizzie is misunderstood, or I see where she's coming from. The way that they direct and write and play her, she just comes off as a psychotic brat. And maybe that's being a little extreme, but just the idea that it makes her seem more like a temper tantrum kind of person rather than actually someone who deserves sympathy and understanding.
I don't think she deserves sympathy. I mean, since this story is disputed, if they wanted to make a sympathetic character, they could have done that. Done the whole, like, oh, she maybe didn't actually do this, yada, yada, yada. The entire movie, I think the main emotion you're supposed to feel is scared of her and scared of what she's going to do.
Yeah.
Because you go in knowing, oh, this is a movie about Lizzie Borden. The poster for the movie has a giant shadow in the shape of an axe. No one's walking into this expecting, like, a nice, fun family drama. They know it ends with an axe going into someone's head.
Well, not only that, it begins with an axe going into someone's head because you see the bodies in the very first scene.
Yeah, the way that this movie is structured is so weird and bad.
It feels like it should have just been a straightforward movie. Yeah. Like, I feel like all their stuff to do the in media res approach, where it's like, oh, we start in the middle of the story, and then we go back to the beginning of the story, and then we flash forward again. It's purposely disorienting, but it never works.
It reminded me of, did you ever see Adrift from this year?
No, but I didn't. I only know because one of my co-hosts for the Breakfast Pub, Nick Tice, he totally predicted the ending of that movie just based on the trailer, which it's not too hard to guess.
It's not. It's a really good movie, but the way that movie is structured is the exact same way, where it goes before the storm and after the storm back and forth because something happens in the storm that affects how you see the events that have come forward. And that's fine because it's a lesser known story, but with a story that's this well known, don't hold off and don't break up the tension by having to constantly jump around in time. Like, we know that she is going to, at least according to this movie's version of events, kill people.
Yeah, and we know that there's going to be the trial, which, and it's interesting too, because the trial you think would be more of a big deal in this, and then they don't even show you the ending of that. They're just like, and then several months, you know, however much later, they deliberated and they decide that she's not guilty.
Yeah.
You know, in a title card. That's it. I don't know. This movie is so frustrating because it's actually not a bad movie. It's just one that's very... It's kind of like when we were talking about Hostel. It's very underwhelming, and that's the biggest sin of this movie. Is that it has so much potential to be great, you know, even good.
Yeah.
And yet it just settles on being very meh the entire time.
Because there are really good things about it. I know you weren't super hot on it, but I really liked how this movie was shot. I think there are a lot of really interesting ways that the director deals with the camera, and it's always very pleasing to look at.
I think it's just the problem that it is very well composed. I just don't feel like the visuals contributed much menace to the story. Like, I feel like it's too brightly lit, it's too, like, glossy, to the point where you're like, I feel like it should be more tense in this sequence. And it's never, you know, you don't even need dark shadows to create tension. It just never really conveyed a really tense, scary mode the entire time.
Yeah, it felt very detached. It felt like we were observing this thing in a scientific sense, which can be interesting and can be really well done, but it doesn't convey the type of movie that I think the script wanted it to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just, there's a lot of that too. It's like, it's actually very well produced in a, you know, like a set decoration level too. It's like,
yeah,
it looks period appropriate. All the costumes, all the furniture, all that stuff. It feels like it's in the right setting, and it doesn't feel like it's cheap at all.
No.
You know, kind of thing. Even though I know this is a smaller release. It's just, you know, it's again, that thing where it's like, I admired all the work they did in that level. It just never wowed me. And especially the thing that was probably most underwhelming, the music in this movie, which is pretty much just one continuous violin, like, throughout the entire film.
Yeah, I have no memory of the music whatsoever. Like, you could have told me that the movie had no music, and I would have been like, yeah, that probably sounds right.
Well, there's big chunks where it doesn't, you know, yeah, to be fair. I mean, and that's, again, like you were saying, like, this very cold and detached thing. I think that's what the director was getting at, because the director of this movie is Craig William McNeil. And he hasn't done a whole lot before this, but his biggest stuff before this was this movie called The Boy. So it's not the one with the doll. It's the one where it's about a 9-year-old sociopath and his development, which is, I'm sure it's why they put him in this part.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that
He did Channel Zero as well, so. Very good horror series. Okay. So,
yeah. If I remember correctly, the biggest complaint that people had about The Boy, which I have not seen, I still want to see it, was that it was so clinical.
Yeah. And I think that's just, that's not the right approach to doing this kind of very intimate character drama kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want, like, and I get it, he doesn't want us to sympathize completely with Lizzie Borden.
As he shouldn't.
No, but at the same time, the problem then is you fail to find reasons to care. You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, she has this forbidden lesbian relationship with Kristen Stewart's character. It's like, okay, but we only really see that happening in, like, two scenes. It's not really a major part in the plot.
I feel like it's a major part in, like, the subtext of the film, and that's interesting because I think Kristen Stewart is a wonderful actress. And
she's my favorite actor in this movie, so.
Oh, well, I just think she's one of the best actresses working, like, today. I would watch her sit and read a phone book and tell me that I'm a failure, but that delves into my subconscious more than I care to admit. But, like, it's...
That's some repressed childhood. There's a lot of fantasies going on there.
But I do think it's interesting, the relationship between her and Lizzie, but it just, it all never really seems to come together. This feels like the first, I mean, I know it's a common criticism of movies, but it really does feel like the first draft of a movie where they're mm-hmm. trying to figure out which angle to take. Like, do we do, like, a mystery about it? Do we do a straightforward thriller, a family drama, a psychological study, like a romance film? Like, what do we do?
Yeah, it almost feels like it's half a movie. Like, it feels like this would have been the first half or first act of a film that would go on to another thing that happens afterwards. And it feels like...
The trial.
Yeah, like, the trial should have been more of a part in that story. And that only starts up after the 2/3 mark, and then it never really plays a big factor into it at all.
No, the trial is just there to give the audience the information that, oh, she went to trial.
And, yeah, that's about it, really.
Yeah.
I wish I had a lot, you know, because I know it's been a while since you saw this movie, and I just saw this today to make sure it was fresh in my mind.
Yeah, it's been a week and a half, because I was telling Justin, I watched this thinking that this was going to be pretty good, and I was like, oh, I'll definitely remember, like, a lot about this movie, so we can have a nice back and forth. And as soon as the movie was done, I went, oh, no, I should not have watched this a week and a half before we were reviewing it.
But even me, like, I just finished it, like, an hour ago. I'm still starting to feel a little fuzzy about this film. And it's just, it leaves so little impression. Like, you know, even some of the stuff I do remember, like, what? She has a whole thing with, like, epileptic fits or convulsions, whatever that's going on there.
Actually, the first time that she has an epileptic moment is the best scene in the whole movie.
It definitely is very shocking, because you're just like, wow, what? And I guess that's meant to make you feel a little sympathetic for her, but there became a point where I almost felt like that was kind of, I couldn't tell if that was actually real or if that was just her trying to get attention.
Ooh, I mean, that's interesting. That's more interesting than the movie is that
theory? Yeah, like because the second time it happens was one where I felt like that was more of an attention ploy than it was an actual, like, oh, she's fainting kind of thing. But, and again, that's just the thing, is that I feel so uncertain about this film. I don't dislike it, but I can't think of much other than some of the performers and the general look of it that I think is really great in this film.
Yeah.
And part of the problem, too, is that this was distributed by Saban, you know, the people behind Power Rangers back in the day.
What?
Oh yeah, Saban, they own the brand Power Rangers. And that's really interesting, is that they're trying to make this push into becoming an art cinema thing.
Go, go, ex-murderer.
But, you know, because the last film I reviewed for this one was The Yellowbirds, that one with, what's his name, Han Solo from the Solo movie? Alden Ehrenreich, yeah. And that one also has kind of a similar problem, where it's a very glossy, very beautiful-looking movie with good actors, and nothing freaking happens in that film.
Yeah.
And this really does feel like that. It's not as... languid and badly paced as that movie was, but it has the same exact problem. And I think Saban doesn't understand that slow doesn't equal good, you know?
Yeah, because I think we all love a lot of really slow-paced films.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Terrence Malick.
Yeah, no, I like some of Terrence Malick. Yeah.
I like pretty much all of Terrence Malick, but like if that shows you how much I can really love slow-paced films, but this just, it's slow for no reason.
Yeah, it just feels like this was not the right movie to take this clinical approach with.
No.
And it's a shame that this was a passion project for Chloe Sevigny, and this just ended up just being okay.
Yeah, know? I would watch a remake of this movie with her still in the role if they just got a different director and a more focused script.
Get to watch 50 or 60-year-old Chloe Sevigny playing 30-year-old Lizzie Borden.
I'd watch it. I think Chloe Sevigny is a very talented actress, and I think she's good in this type of role. Maybe not in exactly a Lizzie Borden role, but give her a movie inspired by... It's a modern remake. It's Izzy. Yeah. I don't know.
No, and Izzy. It's a modern-day take of the Lizzie Borden murders.
It's the cluelessing of the Lizzie Borden brutal axe murdering.
It's like Tangled or something like that, you know, or Frozen. Now we got Izzy.
Yeah, no, well, to do that, it'd be Tangled and then Frozen and then murdering.
Hatcheting
coming this fall from Walt Disney Animation.
Oh boy, the wacky adventures of her and her Irish friend.
Her Irish sometimes friend.
Yeah.
I think that's why Kristen Stewart didn't get the top marks for me for this movie, because her accent is all over the place.
See, I actually thought she was not too bad. I mean, it's partly that she spoke in such hushed tones that you can't fully hear the accent anyways.
Yeah.
But I thought she was at least consistent with the accent that she chose. It wasn't great, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't fluctuate as bad. Because I saw, you know, The Hostel, where it's like that woman's accent was all over the place. This one, you know, she's a little bit better. I will say, though, Kristen Stewart still can't keep her gosh dang mouth shut in this movie, because she does that thing all the time that she always does, her fidgeting lips kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's a tick that's got to stop at some point.
Yeah, it can work for like the more indecisive characters in her career. Like anytime she works with Olivier Assayas, I feel like those types of ticks really work. But Kristen Stewart's an actress that needs a director that completely understands her range and her abilities as a performer, and I feel like McNeil was really tuned into Chloe Sevigny as a performer and was not very tuned into Stewart as a performer.
Yeah, no, this feels like this was definitely Sevigny's, like, you will do exactly what I say kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't really have much else to say about this, so, you know, I'll go first this way, you can have the final thought, but, yeah, I just felt very bleh in this film. Like, I got a little perked up near the end when they finally show you the event that happens, but even that feels like it's so prolonged. Like, it feels like it spikes in interest and then immediately just kind of goes, all right, now just back to business as usual. So I just felt the same way. Again, like I kind of repeating with Yellowbirds. I didn't dislike it. I just never liked it. So I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 decapitated pigeons.
Beautiful. I'm just trying to not make a hereditary joke right now.
Which is funny, too, because this movie really tries to make you dislike her dad.
Yeah.
And at some points you do, because, you know, there's the whole thing that he may or may not be getting a little Harvey Weinstein-ish with Kristen Stewart's character.
Yeah, that's super unnecessary. Like, I get it, like, you want us to hate that guy, but, like, that was so uncomfortable to watch, and I was like, I didn't need to
do
that.
It felt forced.
It was very forced.
And also the fact that, you know, when he does the whole dramatic scene where he decapitates all of her pigeons, I didn't feel sorry for her, because she kind of provoked what the response. It was an over-response, for sure. But it's like, well, what do you think was going to happen if you steal all their jewelry and sell it?
Yeah, there's no really likable character. Even Kristen Stewart just doesn't have enough of a personality in this movie to be particularly likable.
She's only likable in that she's less horrible than the other people around
her. Yeah, she's the least terrible person in the entire movie, and I will give the character props for that. I don't know. But it says something when there is a movie where two Hollywood actresses take their clothes off and then drive axes into people's heads, and the only thing I can go from it is,
I know, that was that thing where you start looking at it like, I don't even really feel aroused. I'm just kind of...
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's there's nothing about the scene that's like supposed to make you go like, ooh, shakalaka,
no,
but it's a thing where it becomes so... I wouldn't say exploitative, but it's a sensationalist telling of this event, and it's interesting on paper, but it just doesn't really have the legs to back it up. It's got a lot of pretty things about it. This is a very pretty movie in every sense of the word. The writing, the dialogue is all pretty. It doesn't mean anything really, but it's pretty. The cinematography is pretty, but it doesn't help anything. The performances are pretty, but for the most part, they don't really elevate the material in any way. The movie is very pretty all around, and I would also give it 5 out of 10 epileptic seizures.
Yeah, no, I wish I had more to say about this film. I just, you know, I just felt very bored in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, Saban is technically doing...
Bored in...
Oh, bored awesome.
But what were you going to say?
I was going to say, at least Saban is making a better movie than the Power Rangers movie, but that joke just threw my entire mental train off. I'm never going to feel joy again.